May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1085. Hence, vain intruding world depart, no more allure nor vex my heart. Let every vanity be gone, I would be peaceful and alone. Hymn 1085.
Thank you. Let us read from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him, because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, saying, Let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this, saying to Paul, The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart, and go in peace. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now, do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. May the Lord bless his own word. May he grant prayer. O Lord, grant us of thy Spirit, we pray, the breath of prayer, the grace of supplication, the inditing of petition. Grant unto us faith, faith in exercise, centered upon the Lamb once slain at Calvary. Grant us reverence, godly fear. May we come, even with weeping and with supplication, to the footstool of thy mercy. Oh, help us, Lord, that at this evening hour we may indeed worship in spirit and in truth. And how needful is confession. Another day's sins rise up before our eyes, even those we can perceive, and how much more there must be. But these, Lord, oh, they cause us sorrow. They are a burden unto our spirit. We have to say, with one who so aptly put it, with this burden I begin. O Lord, remove this load of sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Come thou over those mountains of Betha. Be thou as the roe or young hart. Come quickly. Lord, thine aid is needed. Thy help, Lord, afford, we pray, to hearers and speaker alike. Lord, oh, remember us in our low estate. Thy mercy endureth forever. 'Tis that mercy through Jesus Christ we plead. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. O Lord, may there be that lifting up of the light of thy countenance upon us. Without doubt, There are those that have entered thy courts feeling downcast, distressed. As one expressed of old, ye see the distress that we are in. O Lord, 'tis felt within the burden of sin. When we would do good, evil, is so present with us. And so much we would do. Lord, we confess we leave undone. Gracious God, help us to confess it. And shine, Lord, into our dark, poor, dark, benighted minds. Into our hearts. Let the Sun of Righteousness arise. Let those beams of light reveal not only our sad condition, but the blessings in Christ. And Lord, we ask that there may be some warmth felt from those beams, that we might say with those upon that Emmaus road, did not our hearts burn within us as thou didst commune with us by the way? Lord, we come in all our poverty. We come in our wretchedness, in our fallen condition. Look where we may, we cannot find any merit. Our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. Grant us, O Lord, to trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remove the legality of our spirit to the maladies within us. May we look to that remedy without us. May we be enabled to commit ourselves, body and soul, into thy gracious hand. Be better to us, we pray, even now, Lord, than our many fears. And may all the glory redound unto thy great and holy name. Bless, O Lord, each that have come together this evening. Thou knowest how they have come. May there be prayer in the pew, and power in the pulpit. 'Tis not in us, and that we readily know. But, O Lord, power belongeth unto thee. 'Tis not by might nor man's power, but by thy Spirit. And Lord, we pray, that thy Spirit may rule in our hearts as we come together for worship. Make faces be made. Maybe those that have been spread before thee, as one did the letter, as recounted in thy word. O Lord, we pray that there may be that committing of these cares and concerns, providential, and those things concerning thy courts, into thy gracious hands. Lord, where there's no burden, no exercise, O created, we pray. As thou didst, Lord, cause light, thou didst but speak and it was done in creation. So, O gracious God, we plead that any now who may be found in that darkness of unregeneracy may be quickened into divine life. We pray for young friends. We pray for the little ones, those that tend them even at the evening hour. Bless parents, we pray, in the solemn responsibilities that devolve upon them. Give wisdom and understanding that they might bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And preserve, young friends, we pray, for those enticements of the present day, much condoned. Oh, some things we would scarce mention with our lips. Evils abound, practiced. Oh, Lord, which bring thy anger and wrath upon this land. It must be so. Oh, Lord, preserve our young friends, we pray thee. We can hedge round about them, those in further education. Lord, remember them. Those, Lord, who have passed through those years. Oh, Lord, we pray that anything that remains of those sinful inclinations may be removed. We pray for all needed help to those that bear responsibilities in life, along with those parental responsibilities, those burdens concerning the providential path. Lord, oh, so guide them, we pray. Do direct their steps. May they be constrained to look unto thee, caused indeed to approach unto God in every hour of need. Bless those that hold office here. Strengthen and support them in that arduous labor. May all be done with that single eye to thine honor and thy glory. Bless aged friends, we pray. Oh, remember them, Lord, in the eventide of life. Some perhaps not with us, yet so connected with the cause of truth. Oh, grant, Lord, thy work it might appear. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. And oh, may we each be found exercised before thee, concerned regarding our never-dying soul. Those lines have been sung. Eternity, tremendous sound. To guilty souls, a dreadful wound. But oh, if Christ and heaven be mine, how sweet the accents, how divine. Lord, assure our conscience of its part in the Redeemer's blood. Bear thy witness with our hearts that we are born of God. Leave us not to any presumptuous spirit. Leave us not to any complacency, Lord, in these vital things. But, oh, hear the prayer of the hymn. Search me. Search me, O God, and know my ways. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And give us grace, Lord, to fall beneath thy forming hand. May we be found as that clay in the hands of the heavenly potter, moulded and fashioned according to the purpose of thy grace. Lord, make us willing. Oh, make us willing to be nothing, that Christ might be all and in all. Hear prayer, Lord, for our churches. Oh, turn our captivity, we beseech thee, in these last days. Grant a revival of vital godliness. Lord, we beseech thee, send out thy light and thy truth. Hear prayer for our nation. Raise up faithful men, men of God, men of morality, men of integrity, Lord, for corruption abounds. More than ever we can ever realize. Lord, we see it in every strata of society. Lord, it is as that venom, Lord, which is the downfall of this land. Oh, hear us, we pray. Stay the plague. Oh, gracious God, and grant that revival of vital godliness within this land and in other lands. And now, Lord, oh, send help. Guide us into the truth. Open our eyes that we might behold those wondrous things contained in thy word. Lord, reveal thyself in at the lattice of the window. We ask these mercies, along with every unmentioned favour. We fail in our asking, Lord. We confess, we feel it. And oftentimes, Lord, oh, how we have to beat upon our breast and confess it so. But Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest those things that we have need of. We thank thee that thou dost, and dost evidence by thy tender mercy and thy compassions that thou dost know our every need. So help us now. Pardon our every sin. Accept our tribute of thanks for the multitude of thy mercies. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 803. The things on earth which men esteem, and of their richness boast, in value less or greater seem, proportioned to their cost. Hymn 803.
seeking the help of the Lord and the grace of dependence upon him, we venture to the word you'll find in Acts chapter 16, reading from verse 10. Acts chapter 16, verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. More particularly, the words that have laid upon one spirit are these: assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. In bowing before the Lord this morning, seeking divine direction as to how we might come before you and with what word this evening, I recollected how that during the night season, awaking from sleep, feeling the burden of this evening hour upon one, I sought that the Lord would grant us some assurance as to the portion that we should bring before you. This came to mind this morning again, and ere long I felt these words come upon one spirit: assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. Indication was this, that feeling persuaded, perhaps more than mere persuasion, that matters must be attended to in one way or another for some hearer this evening, feeling that assurance that those things that had been indicated perhaps have been a burden for some considerable time, following those indications, there is persuasion. This persuasion of the Spirit as to this or that matter. And there follows, a time when the Lord in his tender mercy, in his long-suffering mercies, remembering that such are but dust, failing creatures, is pleased to grant those tokens, even some assurance, and there's that gathering, as it were, of these tokens. The gathering, as one speaks of the stones, and let us ever remember, a heap, a number of small stones can make an heap, as much as few large ones, raising these Ebenezers to his praise. I think again of the words, "Oh, how great is the goodness of the Lord." Surmounts anything that a poor sinner can fully perceive. And yet, here and there, the eye is opened, the spirit of understanding is given, and there is a little revealing of the covenant love of Jehovah towards his own. And that, in so directing their pulse, he doth indeed cause them at times to feel this persuasion, this being assured that the thing, it proceedeth from the Lord. O brethren, pray for us. There are some deep things hidden here. There are paths revealed which the people of God are caused to walk in. Even those deep paths wherein they often tried, tempted and tossed with fears and unbelief. Yet, by the grace of God, are enabled to continue. And in continuing, they perceive the hand of the Lord going before them. Did not Nehemiah say, even to those that inquired of him, and did he not so speak of the good hand of God that was upon him? Let us consider for a few moments the context. We read how that Paul, Silas, they went through Syria and Cilicia. They journeyed on. In Cilicia, there, they were persecuted much and stoned because of those things they believed. But by the grace of God, they turned not back, but went forward. I think of the words of the psalmist, "I will go in the strength of the Lord and make mention of his righteousness alone." Then came they to Derbe and Lystra, and there we have this account of Timothy. A favourable account, and how Paul's desire was that he should join with them in these labours amongst the churches. We are not told as to whether Paul had any contact with this young man before. It is evident from that which follows that he, by the grace of God, or saw the grace of God in him, and, shall I put it, coveted his companionship in the pathway. Now we read how a certain burden, as it were, was laid upon the apostle and his companions. We read how they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to go into those parts of Asia. They essayed even to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. A man's heart may devise his way. 'Tis God that directeth his steps. The Lord here had a work to be done at Philippi, and he closed certain doors. They had essayed to do this or that. The Spirit suffered them not to go that other way. The Lord was directing their steps, that they were unacquainted with the purpose. It can be surely understood. They knew not what was couched in those purposes of Jehovah for them and for those at Philippi. But this we can trace here. They were made willing. Willing in the day of God's power. They were being led. Led by the Spirit of God to undertake this labor. The Lord was with them. Now, as I commenced, I made mention of this, and it came to me even as I came along this evening. There's first the indication of the mind and will of God. There's often that persuasion, perhaps after even many years, of the purposes of Jehovah. And there follows, time to time, that blessed assurance. They gather this. They gather these assurances. And they are to the very comfort of the tried, tempted followers of the Lamb. Now there appeared a vision, in a vision to Paul. One from Macedonia, praying him, come over into Macedonia and help us. After he had seen this, we see the willingness. Immediately, we endeavored to go unto Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Now let us take, as it were, a step back. Scripture speaks of three parts. One shall be brought through the fire and the floods, and shall stand at last, complete in Christ. There are, alas, multitudes that Gallio-like go on their way without caring for these things, with no concern, no understanding, in such a state we each were born. Oh, forget it not. Without any spiritual understanding. Without any knowledge of the truth. And that which may be even known in the head causes resentment. And indeed, we will not have this man to reign over us. So complete is that fallen Adam that his posterity have no ability, not one iota of ability, to save themselves. One part. There is a second part, and solemn indeed is that condition. A name to live, and yet being dead. They make a profession. It may even be such a show of religion that they're accounted as being amongst the people of God. But the heart is not right. Where is that humbling under the mighty hand of God? Oh, where is that known and felt of God's holy law that makes such an one tremble under that revelation of truth, even Sinai's commandments? And yet they deceive themselves. They consider themselves able to attend unto these things in their own strength. They scorn the path of those lowly pilgrims in Zion. The second part. And then, as we have remarked, there are these, the poor and afflicted in Zion. Poor and afflicted, Lord, are thine, among the great unfit to shine. But though the world may think it strange, they would not with the world exchange. But the, shall I say, the point in mind this evening is particularly to this. They cannot take to themselves that which is spoken in the Word of God in that general way. They cannot relate it unto themselves. They seek and desire, feeling the danger of being deceived into their own hearts. They desire that word from the Lord and that assurance from his own lips. I often think of those lines of the hymn writer, "I cannot rest till told by God's own mouth that he hath chosen me." They came into my hands some few months ago now. What is generally termed a testimony. I would not judge, God forbid. I feel to come so short myself. But there was this in it. There was that deriding of that waiting upon the Lord, even with bended knees, that coming up to the house of God, seeking that there might be some portion, waiting daily at his doorposts, hearkening to those words that might fall from the lips of those true sent servants of God. They derided such things. No, they say, it's in the Word of God. Take it. It's yours. Friend, I don't believe that is the way of those that truly fear God. They're fearful. They come like dear Ruth. I often think of her. That dear damsel from Moab, not like unto one of thine handmaidens. She was instructed of her mother-in-law.
as to how she might proceed. She obeyed. We read those words which speak volumes. She came softly. Oh, with such reverence. Nothing untoward. Nothing unseemly. Oh, note the law of Moses as recorded in Leviticus. Oh, note the customs of the Jews. And see there, as they had that eye for the promised Messiah, that there was, oh, that spiritual understanding given unto her. And she obeyed, she came softly unto the threshing floor. One's thought is this, friend, this one here spoken of will come with desire before the Lord, seeking that there might be that oak. They dare not proceed, shall I put it that way? They dare not proceed without that word from their God. Now I know not, the Lord alone knoweth, whether there are those among you this evening who are waiting, even as the servant waiteth and watcheth the hand of his master, and the maidservant the hand of her mistress. So our eyes wait upon thee. The Lord had that which was to be done. He could, if it had so pleased him, have wrought his own mind and will in this without any human agent. But it pleased God that this little company, these, should be burdened of him, and that they should be used to his honor and his glory. The Lord was watching over their path. Not this way, not that way, straight on. The doors were closed in those other directions. They may have tried. They essayed, we read. What does it mean? Oh, they determined even. They thought. Friends, our thoughts are not his thoughts. His thoughts are much higher. Much higher than our thoughts. They essayed, friends of you, of I. As the Lord shut that door, prevented it. And perhaps you may, even like an Ephraim, kicked and rebelled, even like Israel murmured. But no, not this way, not this way. The Spirit prevented them. They essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. It was the purpose of God that they should come to Philippi. They were there, those chosen vessels of mercy, to whom the word of truth should come. We see the character in Lydia, who's one whose heart was opened. We see the jailer, who was so suddenly struck down with anguish and torment. Wisdom, we read, is justified of all her children. But to return particularly to these words, we endeavoured to go, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us, as it were, to this labour. The burden rested upon their spirit. Now the Lord doth work in this way.
we cannot perhaps understand it, cometh from many various quarter. This is indication. And this laying upon the Spirit causes such many an inquiry, friends, as fears arise. Not me, Lord, not me. I can't do this. I can't do that. Who made God's mouth? How many of old and in the present day have demurred, held back? Go work today in my vineyard. One said he would and went not. Another, he said he would not, but afterward relented and went. Who think ye did the will of his master? He that after relented and went. I speak of these things as laying upon the heart, not particularly of the ministry, maybe, but the Lord causes this and that to be wrought in Zion to his glory. And such is the path. He'll bring that heart down with labor, and yet shake it off you cannot. Remove it. You cannot. It rises from another quarter. And who knoweth but that thou hast been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this? Dear Esther, death was pronounced upon her and her people. She in that place, in the providences of God. And there was that instruction given unto her. She was to go in unto the king. What said she? Perhaps you know something of it. I will go. If I perish, I'll perish there. Burden soul, this is the work of God's Spirit. What saith he in the Gospels? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. There is this venturing faith. The indication is given. The burden continues. What shall become of the people? And with this particular concern, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The indication that follows some persuasion. The work is deepened. This may take, oh, and often does, some considerable time. We saw many years in the backside of the desert. Burden concerning this or that matter. And yet, under the ministry, under the reading of God's word, oh, let us go further under that persuasion of the Spirit. There is this being wrought in the soul. You thought to go that way. You were stayed to go that way. This way looked right. Oh, it looked as if this was the path that was to be taken. The Lord came. And he blasted those gourds. He laid thee low. He brought thee to his feet. He
made thee cry out in the agony of thy soul. For mercy. For mercy. He showed thee the evils of thine heart. He took thee into those inner chambers. And there divulged unto thee all those things not seen before. You say, is this the way of this third world that shall be brought through those fires and those floods? It is the path. It is that lowly path which no fowl knoweth, which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The indication, the persuasion. Now one's thoughts go to that servant of Abraham. He prayerfully undertook that which his master bid him do. It was not without prayer and supplication. He watched the hand of God. There's indications. There came some persuasion. Those very things he'd sought. Friends, the fleece wet, the fleece dry. Have you had it? The fleece wet, the fleece dry. He watched the very things that unfolded before his eyes. Was he not persuaded? Persuaded that this was the way that he must go? There came the time when he was assured. We read of those words of Laban and Bethuel. This thing proceedeth from the Lord. Assured as he gathered, I see it as it were in this way, gathered those words. He heard them. He received them. And what must have been the very feelings of his very being as he saw those things unfold before his own eyes. Assuredly gathering that the Lord has set him on that mission. Now let us turn for a moment in our thoughts to Nehemiah. He heard a solemn report, and that concerning Jerusalem. It weighed heavy upon his spirit. And what can a poor lone man do? The Lord laid it there. We read those words as the monarch inquired as to the sadness of his countenance. So I prayed unto the God of heaven. Oh, I could take you to a spot in that little vestry ajar that ended it. Oh, fearing, trembling, to be called upon in public prayer. When those very words came out of my heart, so I prayed. Friends, this prayer might say, and prayer. There's that sincerity. And often, there is, I believe, a sincerity, even in formal prayer. But sincerity is not enough. It's faith in Christ. It's waiting upon him. So I prayed unto the God of heaven. We read how that he sought that provision. The Lord opened his way. There was the indication. There was that persuasion. And there was that gathering. That feelings assured that the Lord had set him apart for that solemn work. He spake, I say again, of the good hand of God being upon him. Oh, God, strengthen my hands, was his cry. Not full of self-confidence. Not feeling able to accomplish anything in himself. But he was assured. What's the relevance? These words come concerning that oil stays. The grace of God, that provision continued at his hand. Dear man of God, he met much opposition. Read through this account as we have, and we see, even as Paul, Silas, they continued in this work. What opposition they met from those without. These things will be tried. But having this assurance, oh, can it be removed? Utterly, completely removed? I venture to say with a certainty which alone the word of Scripture can proclaim. It cannot be. None shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. None shall pluck them out of my hand. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Friends, then, have you the indication? Have you borne this? Has it weighed your spirit down? Over many years it may be, the doors have been shut on every side. You've wondered where the seam was. And friends, is this too? Oh, you wonder whether there's anything in that burden, that exercise of soul before the Lord. And Satan is not slow. The hell is this? Poor wretch. He will come in from every quarter possible to lay them low. I was brought low, one said, and he helped me. He helped me. Oh, let us come then to this assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for this purpose. Assuredly gathering. Venture to say there'll be many a season when such shall come into the house of God begging for the Lord's appearing. Lord, confirm thy work. Assure me this is thy way. Leave me not to mine own heart and the devisings of my own mind. Friends, there can be such a thing as spiritual pride. It may plague, it may go unnoticed, as it were, for a time, that the Lord will send those chastenings. He will chasten those whom he loves. He'll bring their heart down with like, and friend, oh, there is this evening chastening. There is that token, for 'tis the son that is chastened. The bastard escapes the rod. Oh, so many are so sure today, so persuaded as it were. I think, oh, that time when was that inquiry made as to who shall deceive this one, that one? It is possible to be deceived. But this one tender in the fear of the Lord, this one coming softly, oh, this one that knoweth 'Tis only that provision in Christ, that sin atoning blood, that favour of God toward them that can help them to continue. This one will seek, and search their own heart and beg of the Lord for that confirmation of his own work. Assuredly gathering, perhaps over the course of time there's been that gleaned, that gathered, whose again comes to mind, that gathered. You've held it. You've clasped it. It remains. But time has passed. The burden continues. And faith becomes very, very low. The Lord is pleased to turn again. He seeth us in our low estate. He remembereth us. And then again, it may be after many months, even years, there's that confirmation. Again, the matter is resurrected, is brought to light. And there's a gathering, there's a strengthening of faith. A strengthening of faith. Friends, would we do anything in our right mind without these tokens of his grace? How can we proceed but that the Lord be with us, that his presence be known and felt amongst us? How shall it be known? Is it not in that thy presence goeth with us? Another season. The Lord appears yet again. Perhaps like one you had to say, be not angry, Lord. Once again, I seek thy favour, that token of thy grace. Assuredly gathering. Not only was he persuaded, friends, there's this assurance now. He knew not how it would fall out. He was not aware, as we know from Scripture, that which was to be appointed, yea, that which was appointed, and that which was to be accomplished among that church. But he was assuredly certain. He gathered it so from the word of God. The ministry. The written word. Yea, that recorded at times in those good books, scriptures there, and the lines of the hymn writers. Used of the Spirit of God, be thankful. Be thankful for the Word of God. Be thankful for that legacy which is given unto us, those godly ones of old that penned those hymns which meet the very exercises and burdens of our soul. Assuredly gathering. It's these words that rest with one. Assuredly gathering. That's not to say yet that the tempter will not have another go, as it were, to turn thee from thy purpose, to confuse thee in thy mind. But here we have, and perhaps it may be with some even the scene. There's been once, there's been twice, maybe a third time. And what more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Christ for refuge have fled? Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us, that the work commenced with him. It continues with him. He will perfect that which concerneth thee. And if he commences it, friends, he will bring it to fruition. the end will be good, as he called thee. As he called thee. As thou that assurance. Oh, if you gathered, as it were, this from the ministry of his word and from the written word, have you gathered it that the Lord hath called you? Just in closing, a few broken remarks this evening. Oh, think again how that these labourers were blessed, shall I say, with a bountiful harvest. The Lord blessed the word to Lydia. The Lord blessed the word to the jailer. And there was that increase in the church at Philippi. That there was opposition, 'tis apparent. Many rose up against this work, and so it will be. Yes, so it will be. But, oh, may the Lord give us grace to continue. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Think of Lot's wife. She looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Remember Lot's wife. A warning indeed. Oh, go in the strength of the Lord. Make mention of his righteousness. Assuredly gathering. The Lord is so tender in this. So compassionate he is. He bears with the infirmities of his weak, weary followers. He hearkens unto that plaintive cry and confirms his own work. Oh, we have a good master. We are but poor labourers. We have cause to be ashamed of those labours, but never ashamed of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh, if we've spoken of him, I trust there's been some hint. Oh, I do trust we may not be plagued as we leave the house of God this evening with those thoughts, even those temptations. You haven't spoken of Jesus. Friends, he's here. Tis his work. Tis his work. Oh, have you gathered in the gospel field? Assuredly gathered. And that persuasion has enabled you to take up the mantle. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Broom is expected to preach next Lord's Day. There will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Pont is expected to preach next Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 1094. Ye souls redeemed by Jesus' blood, salvation's theme pursue, exalt the sovereign grace of God, for such were some of you. 1094.
Thank you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.